are you passionate about? This morning, what are you passionate about? What are you passionate about? What is that one thing that you're so committed to in your life? You know, Martin Luther King said that if a man does not have something he's willing to die for, he's not fit to live. Jesus says those who are willing to come after must deny themselves in order to come after me, to follow me. There's this need to be totally engulfed and totally committed to something for every Christian in here. How many disciples this morning of Jesus Christ are in this building, right now, in this place? How many disciples do we have this morning? One? Do I see two? Do I see three? Do I see four? Four. Do I see five? Five. Do I see six disciples? Seven. Seven disciples. Okay, souls. Seven disciples. Perfect number. Listen, discipleship is the most important thing that a church... Now, we have an English service this morning, okay? We have broad ages here, right? We have the young and the young at heart, right? And we have from all walks of life. We are here, but we are one body. Can we say that? We're one body. Okay, now say it like whenever you go and you watch a football game in Espanol, un juego de soccer, right? You know, and your team makes a goal. Do you say, oh, look, my team made a goal? Is that the way you say? What do we say whenever we make a goal? All right, we're still not there yet. I mean, goal. That's exactly what we are. We need to be passionate. Just as much as we're passionate about our games, we need to be passionate about Jesus Christ. Amen? And the thing about it is, this morning, you must decide. Not me. You. And I say not me because I already decided. But you must decide, am I passionate about Jesus? Am I passionate about giving my life totally to Jesus? Because what we saw a little while ago, that's what the church is. It's about making disciples. That's our number one job. Can we agree on that? If we're not making disciples, what are we doing, right? So this morning, we're going to look at Matthew 28, and it's the last few verses, Matthew 28, 8 through to 20. And I want us to see the importance of why you are here. See, this church, whether English, Spanish, Russian, Ukrainian, it doesn't matter. Me and sister have the same last name, right? But it doesn't matter. What matters is we have the same Savior. That's what matters. You know, and as we go through this morning, I want you to think about this. What is it that I'm passionate about? And is my passion connected to what Jesus' passion is? See, because Jesus has a passion. Didn't Jesus say, I have come to set the captives? Okay, remember the goal thing? I have come to set the captives? There you go. So Jesus came to set us free. He had a punch. The Son of Man came to die. Many. He paid the price for all of us. I'm so glad that he didn't say, only the tall, thin, with long blonde hair will be my disciples. I would have been in trouble, folks. All right? But the thing is I want us to look at this passage in a different light. I want you to look at it and say, so how, some of you are 16, some of you are 20, some of you are older. It doesn't matter. What matters is, how are you serving Jesus today? Are you serving him with passion today more than you did yesterday? You know, I am 53. Yesterday was my 53rd birthday. I know I don't look that old, but I'm 53. Over half a century. That is amazing when you put it that way. You know, August 25th is I told my mom, that's the best day of your life, right? And she goes, no. But I was born. My mom told me my birthday. But then I was born again. I told her my birthday. So you need to know, am I Jesus's or am I not? Am I passionate about Jesus or am I not? You know, and young folks, who loves gaming here? Anybody here loves games? Gaming? You know, PS4, PS3, Xbox One, 2, whatever. I don't know how many they are. But all that is passion. But you know what? That is good, but that doesn't bring us eternity. It doesn't bring your neighbors to Jesus. I'm not saying don't play games. I'm not saying that. But your passion must be aligned with Jesus. So let's look at Matthew 28. Anybody been in jail? Not jail. Forget that. Anybody been in front of a court before? In front of a judge? Anybody? Hermano? Yeah. yeah, la hermana. Anyway, yeah, someone was like, hermano, es que one time. And when you're in front of the judge walks in and the bailiff says, all right, the honorable so-and-so. Are we in the house of God this morning? Are we before the Lord Jesus Christ this morning? Are we before the God of all gods? Yes or no?
Yes.
If we are, then shouldn't we give him homage and as we read his word, all stand? What do you think? The Lord is in the house, right? So let's all stand. We're going to read Matthew 28. And it's very short verses, but I want us to see the importance of these verses. Look at verse 18. It says, then Jesus came near and said to them, all what? Authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples. So how many? Of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And then what it says, verse 20, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you, and remember I am with you always until the end of the what? The age. Let's pray. Father, I just come to you this morning. Thank you for this wonderful group. I pray that your spirit will move in a mighty way and that you show us today, Lord, what you want us to heed to, what you want us to respond to. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Sit down. You can sit down. Now, let me ask, Saul, whenever you were learning how to play, did you just pick it up and you knew how to play it?
Not entirely.
It took time. It took time, right? Right? It takes time. Some of us believe or think that when we become a Christian, we're expected to be something that we're not there yet. God loves us. Can you say, God loves me? He loves you. And he loves you in spite of who we are. So I want you to understand, wherever you are right now, you may not read the Bible every day. You may not even pray every day. You might not even, listen to Christian songs every day. But you know what? Jesus loves you every day. And he wants to have a relationship with you. So let's look at Matthew 28. I want us to see that God wants to remind you, young people and young at heart people, that there's something so important about who we are as Christians. We are not getting together on Sunday morning simply to pass the time. We're not gathered together as a nation. This place right here is a place where we come and we recharge and we love one another, sustain one another, and we go out. That's what this place is, right? You don't come and say, I made it. I'm in church. Woo! I'm done. No, this is just a place. Now, I want us to look at this. I want us to look at the first thing that God wants to remind us. That God wants to understand is this. That Jesus has all authority. Can we say that? Jesus has all authority. Now, you may say, what kind of authority? Well, let's look at it. What kind of authority did Jesus have? Did he have the authority to forgive sin? Yes? How many say yes? Remember football, right? Go, yes. He has authority to forgive sin. Satan wants you to believe that he can't forgive your sin. But he can forgive your sin however little it is, however big it is. He wants you to bring it forth. Nancy Lee DeMoss says this, there's no sin too small that you can't keep hidden, and there's no sin too big that God can't forgive. So my friends, God wants you to understand that he has the authority and the power to forgive sin. He says this, he says, seeing their faith, he said, friend, your sins are forgiven you. Remember when they brought that man through that roof? And he looked at him and he says, your sins are forgiven you. How many sins has God forgiven you of? One, two? I am not an auctioneer, but I just love that. Because he has forgiven all your sins. Because he has all authority. Not only authority to forgive sins, he has the authority to mediate between you and the Father. Jesus told them, he says, I must leave so that you can have someone. And what was his name? What is his name? The Holy Spirit, that he can come alongside. It is best for me to leave. And he says, there's no other name under heaven and earth that is before God and man. And that name is? God. And that name is? Jesus. My friends, Jesus is the only reason that you and I are forgiven. I remember one time, Aviela, I don't remember I told you, but years ago we were in a church, and this man showed up, and he goes, hey, brother,
Orale, you know, and he said, hey, how much do I have to pay to be part of this church? And I wanted to say, it's like, yeah, you give me $300 a month, we're set. No. I said, no, because he didn't understand. He thought he had to what? Pay. Some people think that I got to give offerings so I can be right with God. No, my friend, you're right with God because you said, I'm a sinner, you're the Savior, and I give you my life. He has the authority to forgive sin. Amen? Now, I'm telling you right now, he has the authority to forgive sin, but not only that, he has the authority to clear your mind. You know, anybody have this issue in the mornings? You get up, estás bien dormido, you know, real sleepy, you know, and then all of a sudden, you start waking up, and then all the thoughts of the day just come. Does that happen to anybody or just me? Man, it happens. As soon as I open my eyes, it's like all these thoughts. But you know what? Let Jesus take a hold of your mind. Let Jesus. I'm sorry? Sorry. Es que estoy en cachetón, you know. So this is the deal. Jesus wants to get a hold of you. He has the authority to help you focus. He has the authority to reveal the Father. Do you remember when Philip came to him and says, teacher, I don't know how he said it. Oh, teacher, will you show us the Father? I mean, I don't know if he said it like that. And then what did Jesus say? Philip, have I not been with you this long that you do not know that the Father and I are one? He has the authority to reveal the Father. No other. Hare Krishna can't do it. Buddha can't do it. Martin, los cuatro clavos, he can't do it. Nobody knows that. That's fine. That's the next service. So Jesus has the authority, and out of that, he has the authority to grant eternal life. Breath in our lungs, right? You have eternal life because the bread of life came to you through the Holy Spirit, as you said, Jesus, here I am. I remember the first time I heard a sermon. I never heard a sermon before. Walked into this church, the man is speaking. I can't remember what he said. All I remember saying, what this man says, I believe. That was my first prayer. And that was it. I was a stutterer. Can you believe that I stuttered? No, I just can't be quiet. Because I have something to say. And Jesus is all authority. Can we say that? Jesus is all authority. He's reminding us this morning. Hey, how many of you have problems this morning? No, I'm fine. I don't have any problems. I'm good. Hey, all of us have problems. But you know what? He has authority for every problem you have. But we have to do this. We have to be willing to take the keys of our troubles. We have to be willing to take the keys of our problems and say, here are the keys, God. Take them. Because you have authority. You know, you can't convince anybody to do what you want. You know that, right? All you have to do is just be what God wants you to be. Because he has authority over you. Does Jesus have authority over you? Amen. So that he does. Then the other thing he wants us to remember is this, that he has a plan. You know, Jesus just didn't show up, oh, I'm going to be around for 33 years and I'm just going to wing it. He didn't do that. He had a plan. What happened? It's not going to work. Sorry for the surgery, folks. This is... I'll be back. I mean, all right. So he has the authority, but not only that, he has a plan. What is Jesus' plan? What is Jesus' plan for your life? Have you ever wondered that? What does Jesus want of me? I mean, am I the only one? Jesus, what do you want from me? I've heard people say before, I come and I mow the lawn. I clean the building. I sweep the thing. What do you want from me? Guess what? He wants your heart. Because if he has your heart, he has everything, right? He wants your heart. His plan is that you and I are willing to give him our heart. But his plan involves this, making disciples. Look at what it says. Go therefore and make what? Disciples. Now, we get that confused. we think that it's discipleship. It's not discipleship. Well, in Jesus' day, that word, Jesus didn't say make Christians. Because the word Christian, the name Christian, didn't exist yet. You understand what I'm saying? The word here means disciple. So what is disciple? A disciple is a student. Not just any student. It's a person that is willing to come and say, I believe in you. I trust in you. And I'm going to listen to what you have to say. I'm going to be there. And I'm going to live life like you're living it because I am your disciple. Now, I want you to get this. That when Jesus is talking about discipleship, you can't say, I'm a Christian and not be fully committed. You see what I'm saying? Listen to what I'm saying. You can't say, I'm a Christian and not read your Bible. You can't say, I'm a Christian and not share your faith. You understand what I'm saying? At all costs, share the gospel and when necessary, use words. See, Jesus is saying, I have a plan. I'm going to tell you something. Making disciples is intentional. You just don't walk along, oop, trip. Oh, there's a disciple. You know, 98% of the world, everywhere you go, everybody knows. If God had given Coca-Cola the job to disciple and to preach the gospel and evangelize the world, we'd be dead. We'd be done. But he didn't. Who did he give it to? The church. The church. And watch this. This is amazing. That only 78, at the most, 68, 78%. I can't remember the number I was reading the other day. Know about Jesus. Do you think your neighbor knows about Jesus? Do you know if he does or not? Do you care? Do I care? See, the plan is this. It is not about making believers only, but making disciples. In other words, teaching them. Like what you did earlier when you had that little get-together, like that. Having that unity, having that one-on-one, loving one another. You know, not a lot of people don't go to church. Why do you think a lot of people don't go to church? What is one reason people don't go to church? Why? They think it's boring? What's another reason? They feel judged? What's another reason people don't go to church? There's a lot of reasons people don't go to church. But you know what? How about if the church went to the people? How about if we went and told them, Jesus loves you? I mean, the other day I met this guy. And see, you got to remember this. I'm not very strong. I'm big, but I'm not strong. I don't know how to fight. And this guy, I met this guy, has tattoos. Nothing against tattoos. I'm just saying, here, his face, all I could see was his eyes. And he looked tough. He scared me. Brother Londoño, he scared me. I mean, he comes up, and then I thought he was going to say, hey, you know that. And he goes, hey, how you doing? I was like, whoa. It's like, how you doing? Let me hug you, man. You know, I mean, I was doing what? What was I doing? Judging. And I looked at him, and I said, oh, my goodness, God taught me something. Tell him that I love him. Tell him. And in that moment, tell you what, you are just amazed when people, you look at them like God sees them. Because he says, you make disciples. It's all or nothing. You got to do it. Are you willing to make disciples? In other words, share your gospel. Share the gospel of Jesus Christ. You guys, if you don't do it, who's going to do it? You know, los hispanos, Spanish are, we're notorious. When are you going to do this? Mañana. Right? We're the mañana people, right? Yes or no? We're the mañana people. Oh, are you going to take care of that lawn tomorrow? Yeah, mañana. Tomorrow. Are you going to share the gospel? Yeah, mañana. I mean, it's like, no, we got today. You share the gospel. It's hard work. It's hard work. It's like this. It's, you know, making disciples is a decision. Did you know that somebody prayed for you? Before you became a Christian, somebody prayed for you. Do you believe that? How many believe that somebody prayed for you before you became a Christian? That's right. So how about us? There's a method of sharing there's a method that a lot of churches are using. It's called a 4x4. Have you ever heard of it?
4x4, right? You identify four people that do not know the gospel. You intercede. You pray for them. You invest time in them, on those four people, and then you invite them to church. But, you know, we get it all wrong. We start inviting people to church. They don't even know who we are. But if you invest in them, you know, can you imagine what would it be if we just share the gospel and love people? Did you know that you were sinning when you were sinning? Anybody here? You know, did you know that whenever you were drinking, you hid from your parents? Anybody here? You know what I'm talking about. You hid from your parents, you know. ¿Qué estás haciendo? Oh, nah, nothing, you know. But you know, and what he wants from you and from me is to be who we are, to share the gospel. You know, don't be superficial about it. Either you're in or you're out. Either you're in or you're out. How many are in? You got to be in. See, this church can only be as effective as each one of us are willing to be humble and submissive to Jesus. And it begins with us. It begins with you. It begins with me. And it must be a passion. You must have a passion for it. And then look at the last thing here. I want us to look at this as important. So Jesus has all authority. He has a plan. But you know what? He gives us a promise. There are times in our lives that are so difficult, right? Have you ever been in a situation that all you say, Jesus, why is this going on? Have you ever been there? And you say, God, what can I do? There are times where we really need to just say, I surrender. Because that's the best place to be with Jesus. Anybody ever hear the movie, watch the movie Selena? Anybody in here? Tejanos in the house? I mean, it's like, you know, and there's a scene in that movie. La hermana, oh, Selena. Yeah. There's a scene in the movie where Selena is on top of this thing and she's holding on to the rails and it's a bungee cord. You remember that scene? And she let go. See, most Christians, we don't want to let go. We want to hold on to the stuff that we have. We want to hold on to our problems. We want to hold on to all those things. In reality, those things don't matter, do they? We got to let them go. Let it go. No, I'm just going to say. I mean, you got to let it go. Because if you don't let it go, you can't move forward, can you? If I'm holding back, holding to the past, Jesus says, I am with you. Look what he says. He says, I will be with you always. Always. Now, that's important. Because wherever you go as a Christian, ahí está Jesús. There's Jesus. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Right? Right? You know, little eyes, little hands, little feet, little ears. Hermanos, brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, I submit to you that Jesus has a promise for you. Amen. He will be with you till the ends of the age. Amen. And you know what? It doesn't matter about us. It's about him. You know, he says, I will be with you. He will give us security. He will give us shalom, peace. Have you ever been in that situation and you pray and all of a sudden, that peace comes over you? You know, because the Holy Spirit is inside of you. He's giving you that peace. Peace, I live with you. My peace. Whose peace do you have? You know, don't have, you know, Abe Lincoln's peace. I mean, a $100 bill can only be spent once. Don't have that. Don't trust on chariots, and don't trust on Trump and on all the other guys. Don't trust on anybody but Jesus. Do you know that everybody, no matter how much you have or how little you don't have, guess what? We're all accountable to one God. But in Jesus, all of us have a responsibility. It's a responsibility to share and to remind ourselves that God loves us. Look what Psalms 138:8 says. The Lord will accomplish what concerns me. Your loving kindness, O Lord, is everlasting. Do not forsake the works of your hands. We are his work. He's not going to just let you fail. There's a lady I know at Chick-fil-A. Anybody here? Holy Chicken? Right? Chick-fil-A? And it's pretty good chicken. I mean, it's okay, I guess. Anybody here like Chick-fil-A? I'm doing a survey for Chick-fil-A. I'm getting $10. All right. I just made $10. All right. When I watch this. Chick-fil-A has this thing. We did invent the chicken, just the chicken sandwich. You know what I'm talking about? That's what it says. We didn't invent the chicken, just the chicken sandwich. And one of the things that Chick-fil-A does is customer service. They say this, my pleasure. My pleasure. My question to you, is it your pleasure, my pleasure, to serve Jesus? Because, you know, there's a lady there at Chick-fil-A, her name, I'm not going to say her name, but she, her husband was put in jail when they had just gotten married. She raised two kids on her own. She takes the bus, makes probably minimum wage, and is the most happiest person I've ever met. You know why? Because she relies on the promise of Jesus. You know what she told me yesterday? Oh, I just told you I was at Chick-fil-A. Yeah, okay, I was there yesterday. Anyway, this is what she told me. I have trusted him too long, have come too far to give up now. It's true. How many years have you trusted Jesus? And maybe today you haven't even trusted him yet. You know, God is not going to say, well, Saul, you were at church 3,650 times. You're in. Giovanni, you were in church. It doesn't work that way. Well, Jesus says, did you know? Embrace him. And I remember when me and Eva got married, I don't know how to swim. Anybody here doesn't know how to swim? Okay, good. Good. So I got a few. I've been in churches with everybody knows how to swim. I'm the only one that will drown if a big old thing came. And I remember we were in the sea, and we were out there. Come on, Norberto, we're going to go out there, and we're going to swim. And I said, I don't know how to swim. Oh, put on the life jacket. So I put on a brand new life jacket, and I zipped up, and I'm in the boat, and she jumps into the sea. We were in Cancun somewhere. And in the beautiful water, you've seen it, turquoise water. And she says, come on, Norberto, jump in, jump in. I said, I don't know how to swim. And she says, don't you love me? Don't you love me? And I said, of course I love you. And she says, well, jump. And I grabbed on to that life vest, and I jumped into the water. And I'm like this in the water. Yeah. But you know what I was doing right? I was embracing that life preserver. Because I trusted it with my life. And my question to you this morning is, are you embracing Jesus with your life? Because if you trust yourself, sorry, you ain't going to make it. But if you trust Jesus, oh, my friends, you're going to do things that you never thought you could do. You're going to be in places you never thought you would be. And God's going to bless you in ways that you never thought he would bless you. He has all authority. He has a plan, and he has a promise for you. So this morning, how many disciples are willing to say, I'm giving my life to Jesus again, and I'm going to tell everybody that he's the only reason. He's the only way we can get to heaven. There's no other way. There's no other way. Don't lie to yourselves, okay? There's no other way. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. I want us all to stand. I'm just going to, and where you are there, I'm going to ask Brother Saul to come up here and just play a little bit, just something calm, just him. And everybody else, I just want you to focus on this. Just close your eyes for a minute, and just you and the Lord, just you and God, and ask yourself, what is my passion? Just ask yourself, what is my passion? Close your eyes there. Ask yourself, what is my passion? And is my passion Jesus' passion? And this morning, as Saul plays a little bit of music here, I want you to just focus on you and God. Just focus on you and the Lord. And as he plays right now, as he just something that will kind of just get us to focus on you. Just say to yourself, God, show me. And this morning, I'm going to ask you that maybe for so long that you have trusted on yourself. Maybe for so long that you have been in church, but you really have not shared the message of the gospel.
Maybe for long that you have been a believer, but yet somehow you have not grown. Maybe today is the day, whether you are there in your seat or you want to come up front and just kneel before the Lord and say, God, I'm giving, and you just say whatever you want to say to the Lord. Anybody in here? If you're willing to just come before God and say, God, I give you my life. Maybe it's a time for you to just reconnect with God and say, God, I give you my life again. Anybody here? Are you here this morning saying, you know what? I'm tired of living on my own. I'm tired of doing things my own way. I want to give it to you, Jesus. Anybody here? You can come, or you can, right there where you are, kneel before the Lord. And the reason you come up front is not for me. It's so that way you do not forget that you made a commitment. And that you remember that you walked up front and you said before the Lord, I am committed to you. People, I'm going to be right here. I'll pray with you if you need me to pray for you. But don't leave this place the same way you came in. Leave your seats. Come. Kneel before God and say, God, I want to be part of your plan. I want to share the gospel with my life. Is there anyone here willing to do that this morning? Come. Father, we just ask you that you be with each one who is here today. Only you know, Lord, the heart. Only you know what's going on in people's lives. Only you know. But God, we ask that you guide this church, that you continue with this group of young men and women, that you continue with the band, that you continue moving in their midst. Lord, if there's someone here today that you have touched, I pray, Lord, that you make it real in their lives. And I ask you for your spirit to move. I ask it all in Jesus' name. And God's people say, amen. Remember, he is all authority, he has a plan, and he has a promise. God bless you.